Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Argument is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? And I kept thinking, that's the wrong question for this society. Is Jesus God? The right question for this society and for the unchurched and for people who don't know about Jesus is God like Jesus? Is God really like Jesus? That's the question for this society. So we're going to try to answer that question with a message entitled, The Word Made Flesh. There's a lot more to the teaching. I need you to come. I need you to listen. I need you to come with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the rising and what the Spirit is saying about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So be here. I implore you. I might have to come and knock on your door or something to get you here next Sunday to hear this. How many are going to be here? Tell me now. I don't see it. I don't see everybody's hand. Amen. Well, one more announcement before I begin the message this morning. You're going away. I know. You told me. You're not going to be here, are you, Betty? Oh, that's a shame. I'll send you a tape. One more announcement. Our fifth Sunday, Community Service Sunday, is only 2 weeks away. And now that Catherine Ashlock has got all that partying out of her system last night, she is going to be in charge of getting you to bring food for our fifth Sunday. She got it all out, that party spirit. Now I got to give her another spirit to work with now the next couple weeks. But that party spirit is gone. It'll come back. It'll come back. Now, we are on this fifth Sunday. We're not only going out in the community for a community project, but we are hosting a special luncheon on this fifth Sunday to honor the volunteer firemen and staff of the fire department of Pensauken Township. On May 3rd, we had a memorial service here, which I participated in our community room, with the firemen, with the volunteer firemen and their families, for fallen firemen, for firemen who have passed. And so we want to honor the firemen who are living right now and who are serving this community so well. So we are inviting them and their families, if they would like to bring any family with them, to this luncheon. We are also inviting some township officials, as we also want to formally thank them for their service to the community and for their partnership with The Rising. Mayor Rick Taylor will be here. He will be saying a few words to some of the volunteer firemen that come. And so we're going to try to prepare, I think, for about 80 people, especially with our people coming back from the community project to have lunch also. So what we're going to do is try to prepare for 80 people. So we need all hands on deck for this fifth Sunday. There are two sign-up sheets in each foyer. Excuse me. Two sign-up sheets in each foyer for you to sign up what you would bring to this luncheon. Now, I'm asking you to support this because we want to be a blessing, a real blessing to the township of Pensauken. So, and bringing some food for the firemen's feast would be a great blessing. I actually want us to treat this like a communion feast service, as if we were having one of those, but we're going to do it for the people in the township and also for our people. Our people are more than welcome to participate in that lunch, especially the people that are going out into the community to do the project. When they come back, a nice lunch will be waiting for you. Amen? So are we on board? Well, that wasn't very convincing, but are we on board? Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Somebody has to make some turkey meatloaf, I think, too. I'm looking at her right now with the corner of my eye. But I don't know if she sees me, but I'm looking over right at the corner of my eye. Turkey meatloaf, turkey meatloaf, turkey meatloaf. Matthew chapter 16, the title of the message this morning is Let's Build on the Rock. And if you remember, back about April 19th, I think it was, on FaceTime, we had done part one of Let's Build Upon the Rock. And today we're going to continue with part two. And what we're going to be doing in part two, we're going to be moving into Acts chapter 10. But I want to do somewhat of a review of part one, in case you weren't here, and just to spark your memory, if you were here, I want to do a review of part one before we move into Acts chapter 10 for part two. So let's read our core scripture, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus in this text asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And the disciples begin to recite that all the things that people were saying, that some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're one of the other prophets. But Jesus wasn't interested in that. He said to Peter, but who do you say that I am? You are the people closest to me. Who do you say that I am, Peter? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. He astonished his teacher. It was one of the few times that Jesus was shocked at an answer. He just looked at Peter in astonishment. And he says to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto me, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, ooh, Peter, you got a word from the Father without even coming through me. And that is what is so important, church. That is what is so important. All that other stuff about Peter is not all that important. Yes, Peter was a hothead. Peter talked too much. Yes, Peter got a loose mouth. You cuss, Peter. You're constantly cussing people out, Peter. But you got one thing going for you, Peter. You can hear the Father. And I'm going to use you because of that. So even though Peter kept messing up stuff. Peter, you're killing people, Peter. You're cutting people's ears off, Peter, and I have to heal the people that you beat up. That's right, Peter, you're radical. You're a rebel. But I can use you, Peter. Why? Because you can hear God. Amen? Flesh and blood, Jesus said, has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You, Peter, have heard the voice of God. He says, Peter, what you just heard from the Father, the revelation you just got, that is the rock, Peter, that I will build my church on, that rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, Peter, upon this ability to hear God, because no matter what's wrong with you, if you can hear God, things can get straightened out. Mindsets can be straightened out. Some issues can be straightened out. Some things can go in a different direction if you can hear God. He says, upon this revelation knowledge you have, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to use you, Peter, to do it. And I'm not going to use you, Peter, because you are right. I'm going to use you because you can hear me. So he tells Peter, I'm going to build my church on this revelation. Now, what is the church? What is the church? Well, you don't know yet, Peter. You don't know yet. You're going to know later. You're going to know later, Peter. You don't even understand what I'm building yet. But as you follow me, Peter, as you follow me, you will know what my church is. But I'm going to build it upon the rock and the revelation you had, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I talked about this in the first message, and I want to repeat it and talk about it again, because after all these years, many people do not understand the church. Many people in our society think that the church is just a place to come for social functions. Yes, we do have social functions, and we have some good ones. Amen? But many people in our society think that the church is just a place for social functions. And we basically think it's like the Moose's Lodge or the Elks Club. And we vote on everything. We talk about everything. We have amendments and constitutions. And we go through all the judicial processes and legalities, just like all other organizations. And some of that is necessary. But church, that's not really what the church is. We have so many divisions and denominational breakdowns, and because we don't understand the church. There are phrases that we use that are so diabolically opposed to what the church is. Listen, phrases like white church or black church. You're going to a black church. You're going to a white church. You're going to a poor church. You're going to a rich church. All of these statements mean, you know what they mean? We don't understand the church. That's what they mean. Because if you understood the word church, you could never put white or black or any color in front of it. You couldn't put any distinction in class in front of it, in front of the word church. If you do, you don't understand the church. And I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but I don't care at this point. I think I told this story in the first message. But back in 2011, when I was on vacation, I was ministering at a conference in New York. And it was a Holy Spirit conference. And a lady was so excited about what I was ministering. She ran up to me after the workshop. It was a workshop. And she was so excited. And I guess she said this to me because I was white. But she's so excited. And she said, "Pastor, when I get back home, I'm going to go to a white church." And I know she was trying to be nice, but I stood there thinking, I didn't know what to say because I don't go to a white church. So I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know what to say because I was sitting there thinking, wait a minute, I don't go to a white church. And I was sitting there thinking, and I didn't know why she wanted to go to one either. You know what I'm saying? That was my thought. I didn't say that. That was my thought. And I knew, listen, church. I knew she was trying to tell me something good, but I also knew she didn't understand the word church. Because listen, you can never use a discriminatory term and then say church and make it fit. Not black, not white, not rich, not poor. Nothing that discriminates one group from another, and then you tie it into the church and call it right. No, that's not the church. That's not what he came to build. Now, that's what men are building, but God never came to build that. You cannot tie race and church together. And again, I know there are some great thinkers and some people who would be highly critical of that statement I just made. But I must say to you that the whole concept of church destroys racial connotations. And I'm going to tell you that this church is called to be living proof of that. Amen. Amen. You can clap. The whole definition of church disputes distinctions of races. It causes us to be one new created species. Amen? Amen. Church, let me just say this to you. It is a sign to the world that God is really there when you can see men from every nation come together. It's a sign to the world that God is really there. Because the only way we could come together is through Jesus Christ. And whenever you see us come together like that, listen, it is the church. It's what he died to build. He didn't die to build prejudice. He died to tear it down. And I'm talking about any kind of prejudice. What God wants to do is renew us to the point where we become a new creation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means a new species. We're not some sect of the old species or some better version of the old species. We're not a group or a department of an existing institution. We are part of a completely new species. Amen? In fact, when I was watching Christian television for months and months and months, I couldn't help but think that this isn't the church. A lot of this isn't the church. It's building great towers of Babel. That you can build that on your own. Do you understand that? You can build, they did it in the Old Testament. You can build a great tower of Babel on your own. I used to preach some messages in a particular theology before you even knew me. And if I preach that stuff now, we probably have 100 more people in 6 months come to this church. I can tell you, because I'm skilled enough and talented enough to be able to preach that stuff to sway you in a certain direction. Amen? Amen. But these messages and this particular theology is from a false framework, false premises, but they're very popular and they are so far removed from Jesus. But I know today, And the Jesus I know today and the way that I see and interpret the scriptures. But I could preach those messages good enough, listen, with enough charisma that if the word got out, we'd have a lot more people here right away. It would draw a lot of people here. And I could, listen, build a tower of Babel. But I want to build a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to build a church. And I know we're struggling, but church, I want to build a church. I want you to build a church with me. A church. I want to build a place centered on the finished work of Christ. I want to build a body, a family, a biblical community. I want to build a spiritual hospital. I want to build a place where we can explore theology together. I want to build a place that is free of racism, classism, and genderism. I want to build a place that has purpose and vision. I want to build people. I want to build the church. Not a Tower of Babel. Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm going to do it through you, Peter. Oh, Peter, you're not ready, but you're not ready. Because, Peter, you know why you're not ready? Because, Peter, you're prejudiced. And you got hang-ups. See, it wasn't black and white back then. It's not black and white everywhere. Someplace else, it's Indians and Chinese. Someplace else it's German and Jews. Because we, church, we got all kind of reasons to fall out with each other. Back in Bible times, it was Jew and Greek. And he says, Peter, you got some hang-ups too. But I'm going to use you, Peter, not because you've got hang-ups. Why? Because you can hear God. You can hear God. And if you can hear God, no matter how hung up you are by your traditions, I can funnel information to you and I can straighten out your sick mind. If you can hear God. Peter was trained and well prepared for Judaism. But God was not building Judaism. God was not building another religion. He was building the church. And he begins to challenge Peter because he sent Peter in an area where Peter was not accustomed to going. He challenged his limitations. And sometimes that's what God will do. He will challenge our limitations and intentionally set us in situations where we are completely uncomfortable. And that is to enlarge us. You understand that? That's to enlarge us and to cause us to grow. Because God is not interested in building what men build. He says, I'm going to build the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, I will build my church. If there is any place where the problems of racism and classism and genderism, if there's any place where that's ever going to be resolved, it's only going to be resolved through the blood of Jesus. And that place is the church. It's the only place that has a chance. And I'm not saying the church has not resolved those issues. I'm telling you it's the only place that has a chance to resolve those issues. Because all the progress that's been made in America, still Sunday is the most segregated time ever. So the mission of the Rising, watch, the mission of the Rising is to be the great melting pot of God's people, desegregated and united under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we teach the grace and love of God. Because if you don't understand the depths and dimensions of the grace of God and the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love of God, this can never happen on any significant level. It can never happen. It may happen on a superficial level, because in many places, that's what it is. It's a superficial level, but it will never happen on a significant heart level. Now, you've got to understand this, that if God builds the church, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when we start talking about the gates of hell, we start thinking about being in a fight with the enemy. But have you ever seen anybody fight a gate? Come on. If you did, call the psych ward, because a gate is not something you fight with. The purpose of a gate is to keep something in or keep something out. And what God is saying, that right at the point of the church's strength, the gates of hell are going to come against it. But he said, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And one of the gates that is sent to divide the body of Christ is a gate that is sent to keep us from cross-pollinating with one another. And God says to Peter, I'm going to use you to accomplish this because you can hear God. Not because you understand what I'm doing, Peter, but because you don't really know what I'm building yet, Peter. But don't worry about that, because I'm going to channel information to you, and when the time comes, you're going to receive the right information. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 and see what God did to Peter here. Acts chapter, are you with me? chapter 10. Now, I want to say something that pertains somewhat to Acts chapter 10. But while I was gone, I heard some funny things about words being given to people in the body. And I want to say something about that, that pertains to Acts chapter 10 also. Because whenever God gets ready to come against the gates, and you're going to see this in Acts chapter 10, whenever God gets ready to come against the gates, he's got to deal with both sides. Not just because there are hang-ups on both sides. And God will not send you anybody. Listen, God will not send you anybody who he has not prepared for you. And you need to know that in every area of your life. Whether you're talking about a spouse or a companion or a friend or a ministry, if God gives you a word for me, okay, he will prepare me for that word. If God has somebody give you a word, he will prepare you for that word. If God told you that I was your husband, then he's going to tell me. Quit being moved by one-sided revelation. God is a balanced God. Thank you. And whenever he does it on this side, he does it on the other side. Don't come with some mess to me about that. God didn't tell me that. Listen, God told Sarah some revelation knowledge that was going to affect their house. And then he told, what did he tell Abraham? He said, hearken unto the voice of your wife. He balanced it. We may not get it at the same time, but we will get it as we go on in our walk with God. He will not cause you to give me a word or give me a prophecy that is completely foreign to my spirit. Amen? But he'll prepare my heart and mind. Don't come to me prophesying, the Lord told me you should close the Rising. That's foreign to my spirit. Something within you has to bear witness to what is being said to you. And I say this to you today. If somebody brings you a word from God and it does not bear witness in your own spirit, I don't care what they said from God. Lay it aside. And don't be afraid to lay it aside, because if it is of God, it will stand. If it be of men, it will come to naught. Amen? All right, I had to get that out of my system. Acts chapter 10, the Bible talks in Acts chapter 10, at the beginning of it, God begins to deal with a man named Cornelius. Let's read verse 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was Italian, he was a Gentile. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So we find out Cornelius was a devout man. He was a Gentile of the Italian band, and he knew God. He knew God. He was not of the house of Israel, but he knew God, and he was praying. And this blew the Israelites' mind, because they did not accept the fact that God would use anybody but them. One of the problems in the Christian community today is that we have rejected some anointed ministry. Watch, because it does not culturally sound like what I'm used to hearing. You don't hear what I'm saying. they don't talk like I talk, so I can't hear God through them. And it's just foolishness. We better learn to hear God. I don't care what kind of trumpet he blows. You better listen up for the distinct sound of God's anointing and climb over every barrier that would hinder you from hearing God. Listen, if I go to the hospital and I'm sick and a doctor comes with some foreign name that I could hardly pronounce, who cares? Who cares if he's Israelite, Swahilian, Jamaican? I just want to know, can you get me well? Who cares? And the church has got to come to the point where we are actually occupied with the real issues. Not how you clap, not how you dress, not how you hoop, not what your style is. But listen, what is your content? I don't care if you yell and scream and get me all emotional. I don't care if you talk in a monotone. What is your content? What do you have to say about your God? Are you teaching me anything? Are you making me think and reflect? Are you affecting my soul? Verse 3. Whew. You guys are getting me all worked up. I need water. Verse 3. Cornelius saw in a vision. He said he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God, he's saying, God, I hear your prayers, Cornelius. I receive your alms. And now this is what he's telling him. Here's the answer he's giving Cornelius. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You know what God's answer was to him for his prayers? Go out of your community. Go out of your race. Go out of your group. I've got the answer, but I've put it in the hands and behind the skin of another man who looks different from you, and you're going to have to bring your hatchet and chop down every prejudice to get the help you need. That's what he told Cornelius. Now, while Cornelius was getting his vision, watch, Peter was on the rooftop getting a vision too. Let's read what happened to Peter. Verses 9 to 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So you see, this is simultaneously going on. Cornelius gets his vision, or gets his instructions from God what to do. Here's Peter on the roof, praying at the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So Peter goes into a trance, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, thou call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again in heaven. Now, do you get this picture here? Peter is up on the rooftop. And Peter really, at this point in his ministry, if you read the chapters before, he is ministering only in the confines of his own race and his own people. That's all he's ministering. He's ministering to Jews. That's all he's ministering to. And then all of a sudden, God begins to show him in a dream through different kind of meats. And Peter, being full of Judaistic teaching, when the Lord says to Peter, The Lord said this. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. The Lord said it. Peter, what did Peter say? Not so, Lord. What did Peter told God no. Do you hear what I'm saying? Peter told God no. If God appears to me in a vision and tells me to eat something, I'm going to eat it. I don't care what it is. Peter, being full of Judaistic teaching, said he told God no. And listen, church, that's what prejudice will do to you. It will make you say no even when you know God has said yes. Come on, somebody. That's what prejudice will do. He told God, he said, I'm not going to eat that. God says, how dare you call what I've cleansed common or unclean? And God said, I'm going to use a people, Peter, that you're not accustomed to. Verse 17. Look at verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. You get that? Stood before. Where did he stand? Before the gate. There's that gate. There's that gate. The gates of hell. There's that gate. Verse 18. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. God is telling Peter, I'm in this thing, Peter. Wake up. I'm in this thing. Remember what he told Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates, say gates. This is one of the gates. Come on. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter, you've been doing a really great work in Jerusalem and Judea. But there is a gate when it comes to going through Samaria and over into the Gentile nations. There's a gate. When the Lord said to his disciples in Matthew 28, when he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore go and teach all nations. Say all nations. Not your little group, all nations, not your little sect, not just what you're comfortable with. He said, teach all nations. We can't be a church that just works with people we're comfortable with. See, we want to stay within our Baptist walls and our stay within our Pentecostal walls and stay within our Methodist walls and stay within our black walls and stay within our white walls. But the true church is going to find a way to climb over all those walls. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. When you get hungry enough, you'll leap over top of a wall. I don't care how big the wall is. When you really get hungry, you could have been Baptist for 12 generations. But if you're really hungry and there's some bread over in the Pentecostal church, you'll go over there and eat the bread. And thank God for it. They may jump and shout like you've never seen before, but you'll still eat the bread if you're hungry. For Peter and for Cornelius, listen, God purposely put the bread in an area where both men had to climb over prejudice to get it. Oh, my God. Do you understand? That's God's design to bring us together. He knows we're never going to come together on our own. But when you get hungry enough, we will get together. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing brings people together like trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When there's a war going on and you're down in the foxhole, all right, together with your brothers, whether they are white, black, Puerto Rican, Chinese, Japanese. We are shooting at the enemy, and we're all trying to stay alive. You find soldiers coming out of Vietnam hugging each other, white men, black men, Puerto Rican men, Asian men, talking about, I love you, man. I love you, man, because they have been through something together. Nothing brings you together like warfare. And in this hour, church, the warfare in this country like we've never seen before. We've never seen the AIDS and the herpes and the crack and the cocaine that's come against this society. The unemployment, the joblessness, the incest, the rape, the child abuse, the molestation that's coming against this age. We have never seen anything like it before. Warfare. When I was raised, my grandmother, who was prejudiced, she didn't know any better. But when I was raised as a child, we were taught, listen, my grandmother taught us that these things didn't happen to white people. But I found out that was a big lie. Because it happens to white people, black people, Chinese people, red people. Anywhere you see people, there's going to be some depravity and some mess. And when you get in enough trouble, you just want some help. You don't care where it comes from. You don't care who God uses. You don't care who God sends. You want some hope and help and deliverance, and you don't care where it comes from. Trouble is not prejudice. Is it? Sin is not prejudice. Listen, depression is not prejudice. Suicide is not prejudice. Rich people commit as much suicide as poor people. Suicide is not prejudice. Rape is not prejudice. Molestation is not prejudice. AIDS is not prejudice. Herpes is not prejudice. Crack is not prejudice. And the church better not be prejudiced either. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Upon this rock, I will build my church. With all of this going on, church, we can't let the gates of hell prevail against us. With all of that going on, there's a time we're going to have to blend our resources together and fight the good fight of faith like never before, and not allow the gates of hell to prevail against the church. I don't care who brings it. Can I tell you something? Anointing is anointing. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care who God uses. I don't care if God uses a twang, if he has a twang or a monotone or a southern drawl. I don't care. Give me some anointed preaching and teaching that will go across the walls of color and culture and tradition and have some real meaning for our lives and for the kingdom. I don't care who brings that. God began here in Acts chapter 10 to deal with Peter. He said, Peter, your ministry is going across the wall. And listen, this ministry, the rising, has to go across all walls. Say all. All walls. And it's going to challenge you. But we've got to do it. We've got to do it. There are people around you that may not understand you culturally, but they understand pain. They understand pain. And God wants you to minister to them and allow your uncomfortableness, not allow your uncomfortableness to stop you from reaching out to them. God is challenging you to move across the walls. Because God's not building a club or an auxiliary. He is building the church. Verse 21. Acts chapter 10, verse 21. It says, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Now watch verse 25, watch. And Peter was coming in, and Peter was coming in, and Peter was coming in as he was crossing the gate. As Peter was coming in, him. You get it? He was crossing into a new realm, a new dimension. As Peter was crossing in, as Peter crossed in, the first thing that happened was Cornelius met him. And watch what he did. Cornelius and Peter was coming in, crossing the gate. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Verse 26, but Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. When you get ready to cross the gate, listen, when you get ready to cross the gate, God does not intend for one race to reign supreme over the other. God does not intend for one person to reign supreme over the other. God says, when you come through the gate, Peter, tell Cornelius, don't worship me. Get up. I'm just a man just like you. Verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me. Somebody say, God has showed me. God has showed me. Say it again. God, say it again. You got to get that down in your spirit. God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wow. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Ooh, Peter, listen, broke through the gates. And that's what this small church, the Rising, small right now, is called to do. We are called to preach the grace and love of God to such a dimension that we break through the gates and become a model for the world to see. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 28 again. Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. I got to get that down in your spirit. Who can bring us together but God? Who can do these things from God but God? After years of being conditioned in another way, Peter, only God could bring them together. And church, we are called, as I said, to be that model, to break through the gates to such a dimension that we become a model for the world to see. And they're going to say, what's going on in there? What's going on in there? You know, it's so exhausting for me and tiresome to see all the ways we divide in the body of Christ. It's just not racial. It's educational also. You got people who got degrees looking down on people who don't have a degree. It's not racial. It's educational. You got people who are feeling bad because they've come from a broken home, and then people that didn't come from a broken home looking down their nose at somebody who did. Church, we divide over some who have been abused and some who have been misused and some who are on their third marriage and some who have never been married. We have divided over everything in the world you can divide about. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to remember this. God did not bring us together to make each other feel bad. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. God didn't bring us together to make each other feel bad. He brought us together to heal one another, to strengthen one another, to understand each other's pains, and to come together to give people a place where they can experience resurrection and restoration and new life. Peter said in verse 28, "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Peter said, "I was prejudiced. But God showed me." If you ask, or if I asked you this, if I asked most people in this room, are they prejudiced? Are you prejudiced? You would say, no, no.
No.
Are you prejudiced?
No.
Listen. No. Now see, I said no, but listen. Big lie. Why, church? Because everybody has been prejudiced about something sometime. Everybody. Peter said, "I was messed up, but God showed me." Isn't that good? I was messed up, but God showed me. See, that's why God used him. He said, you're messed up, Peter, but you can hear me. You can hear me. And if you can hear me, I can use you. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with you that I can't straighten out if you can hear me. I don't care how twisted and distorted your opinions are. God said, I'm going to use you, Peter, watch, because you can hear in the dark. Ooh, church. God needs believers who can hear in the dark. When everything has gone black in the world, listen, God needs somebody who can get down on their knees wrong and come up right. He needs it. Peter said there was a time that I wouldn't be caught dead in your house, Cornelius. But who? But God showed me. But God showed me. Had Peter not crossed the gate to Cornelius' house, listen, had Peter not crossed the gate to Cornelius' house, the church would have been nothing but a modified Judaism. When Peter crossed the threshold into Cornelius' house, the church became what Christ died for. Look at verse 34. Look what Peter said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Are you getting anything this morning? He opened his mouth and he said something that I'm not sure we even understand this. I'm not sure we understand, not just racially, but even in our churches and in our concepts. Because I think some of us really believe that God prefers some people over another. But Peter begins to preach, God is no respecter of persons. He will save anybody. He will fill anybody. He is no respecter of persons. Peter crossed the wall, came through the gates, and began to minister the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 44, look at verse 44. I'm going to close. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Peter never got to finish his message. He didn't get to even get to the conclusion. Okay? Before he got to the final summation of the text, while he was yet preaching, he broke through the gate and the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? The gates were defeated that day because Peter went beyond the barrier and dared to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ooh, my time is way up. Let me just close quickly. Verse 45. Let me close with this. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. That's the Jews, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me as I close. It's not going to be what you say or what you preach. Listen, it's going to be how you love. It's going to be how you live out the love of God. Watch. With somebody different than you. It's not just talking right, church. It's loving right. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And say it with me. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Only, church, when we break through the gates, is the world going to ask, who are you? Who are you? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. When they see us really loving one another and breaking through the gates, that's when they're going to start asking, who are you? Who are you? And you know what we're going to tell them? You know who we are? We are the church of the true and living God. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Woo, church, let's come across the gate. Listen, let's come across the gate and watch the Holy Ghost flow like a river and fall like the rain. Come on, stand with me. Stand with me, church, 1 second. Before our music ministry closes in song, I want you to say this with me. Come on, raise your hand. Say this with me. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the rising. And we will be the body that breaks through the gates and becomes the model. Say it again. And becomes the model for the world to see. Our desire is to become the church that Christ died for. A great melting pot of God's people, free from racism, free from classism, free from genderism, and united under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Woo, if you've been blessed this morning, give God a good praise as we close in song this morning.